Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports. Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You know, we got off the air yesterday, and I immediately went into women's basketball. Louisville was playing last night. By the way, we beat the crap out of Texas last night. I mean, we ended up winning by 20-something. But it was more like a 30-something game. I mean, we embarrassed them on their home court.
So it got a little spicy afterwards in the handshake line.
I did find out what that was about, and Ooh. It was as stupid as you would think it was.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, I was enjoying myself. Good show yesterday, off the air, 6 o'clock, women's basketball. We're beating the crap out of Texas. And all of a sudden on Twitter, I see something. Josh Dobbs signing for 1 year with the Cleveland Browns. And I shot up off the couch when I saw that. And I said, what? Josh Dobbs, a one-year deal to Cleveland. Now, it was his agent who was the one who put the tweet out there announcing it, and he didn't include money. And when the agent doesn't include money and how much somebody signed for, truth is, it's not a lot. So 1 year for Josh Dobbs. My guess is it's under $2 million. In fact, I would not be surprised if Josh Dobbs ended up signing for the league minimum, and I could be wrong on this, but $1.16 million. I would not be surprised. And I thought to myself, well, who's going to be the backup for the Titans? Because Josh Dobbs is not good enough to start. You know, people would say that, you know, oh, what about starting Dobbs? And he turns the ball over too much. Turned the ball over 4 times in 2 games. Including 2 that were absolutely deadly in the can't-have-a moments in a gotta-have-it game. So Josh Dobbs is not a starter in the NFL. But what Josh Dobbs showed in those 2 starts against Dallas and Jacksonville is he'd be a great backup to Ryan Tannehill. And so yesterday, I was outraged when I saw that the Titans decided not to bring Josh Dobbs back. And I think a lot of people are going to say, outraged, that's too strong of a word, Jared. Like, it's a backup quarterback. It's not that big of a deal. To which I would say, it is very much a big deal. Because I'm asking again, who's the backup quarterback? This isn't like running back, where you have 3 guys behind Derrick Henry, and if Derrick Henry gets hurt, you may be able to go out and find a Deontay Foreman and stick him in there and be okay. This isn't like kicker, where you can change it every week. This is quarterback. And last year, had Josh Dobbs been on your team the whole season, you probably would have made the playoffs, because you probably would have beaten the Chiefs, and Dobbs would have known your roster more, and you probably wouldn't have rushed Tannehill back, and everything else. So why did they let him go? Why did they not re-sign him? And the options for me about why not to re-sign Josh Dobbs are threefold. And 2 of them, they've already screwed up. The first reason to sign to not re-sign Josh Dobbs would be if you were going to sign a better backup quarterback. You were going to say, Tannehill's going to be 35 years old this year, coming off of an ankle injury. Now, he should be fine. He had the tightrope surgery, and a sprained ankle is not the end of the world. But let's be careful with a 35-year-old quarterback. We still want to get Malik Willis some reps in practice, so we want a veteran guy who doesn't need to practice much. We'll bring him in here, and he's going to be the backup to Tannehill. But all those guys are signed now, so that door is shut. So you can't do that. The second thing would be that you think Malik Willis is good enough to be the backup quarterback. And let me just tell you this. Everybody and their grandma knows that Malik Willis is not good enough or ready to be the backup quarterback of the Titans. And I kept saying that last year when Malik was out there. And I said, he's the future of this team. The future backup. Maybe. But even last year when he was your backup, he was not good enough to be a backup in the NFL. And everybody knows it. I was yelling it to you during training camp. I mean, I watched him go out there in a 2-minute drill against the Arizona Cardinals and throw the ball away on 4th down. I mean, I'm all for throwing the ball away and not throwing it into traffic and being intercepted, but not in a 2-minute drill and not on 4th down. I mean, that's high school stuff. And Malik was horrible when he had to go in there this past season. And his attitude was awful. And so everybody knows that Malik Willis is not ready to be the backup quarterback of the Titans. In fact, the coach knows it when he went out there and he essentially benched Malik Willis for the last 2 weeks of the season. He did it on purpose because he knew he couldn't win with Malik. And so now you're going to try to convince me that Malik is going to be the backup? No, no, no. The third reason why I could see them letting Josh Dobbs go, but there's no guarantee in this, is if you are going to draft a quarterback this year. That's the only other thing I could come up with, is if you are convinced today that you are going to draft a quarterback, then I could see you saying, okay, like how Indianapolis right now has Gardner Minshew, he might be their starter, he might be their backup. But they know that they've got him, and they probably think they're going to draft a quarterback. Now, I don't know what the Chiefs did. I know that Alex Smith was their starter, and Nick Foles was their backup, and then they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and when they drafted Patrick Mahomes and they sat him on the bench, they turned around, and Nick Foles ended up on the Eagles. And we all know how that went down. So I don't know if like they released Foles the day after they drafted Mahomes, or if they didn't re-sign Foles and they just didn't have a backup and then they drafted Mahomes. I don't know. But that's the only logical explanation that could be that we could have for the Titans not keeping Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs played great as a backup quarterback in the two games he was asked to play. Now, I don't think Josh Dobbs has anything more of a ceiling than being a backup quarterback. But I certainly think he's a backup quarterback, and I think he's a good backup quarterback. I think he plays the similar style to Tannehill. He fits your offense. He's athletic, but he's not a runner. He's obviously very smart. You know, other than fumbling the ball at the end of the Jacksonville game and that horrendous decision to throw that long pass down the field where he got hit on the interception intended on the left sideline for Burks. Other than that, Dobbs was great in that Jacksonville game. I mean, Dobbs took them right down the field in the first half and was scoring touchdowns and honestly gave me belief that if they had won that game, they were going to beat the Chargers. I thought Dobbs was, I thought he was beautiful until the turnovers. And I thought he was great against the Cowboys too. But the only thing I can think of is that the Titans are thinking, well, you know, this isn't a big deal. It is a big deal. Backup quarterback is a big deal. It's not a big deal if your starting quarterback never gets hurt, which is the approach the Titans took for the previous 3 years. Mariota leaves, Logan Woodside's the backup, and at first the Titans did kind of take it seriously because they brought in Trevor Siemian to compete with Logan Woodside, and he lost. Then, the next year, they didn't really care about it much, but they did bring in Matt Barkley to compete with Logan Woodside, and he lost, and so Logan Woodside was the backup. Then last year, they drafted Malik, and Logan Woodside was horrendous in training camp. Now, I'm not going to hold that against Logan, but he might just suck. But he never had to play in the previous 2 years. When Malik had to go in there, and I kept telling you all, he is not ready to go in an NFL game. He's not ready. And sometimes I think when you say that, or when I say that, you all might assume that there's an assumption that he's not ready means that one day he will be ready. And I'm not convinced of that with Malik Willis. But he's definitely not ready right now. Malik Willis should not be the backup of this team. And so all I can think of is, one, they either should have signed somebody else if it wasn't going to be Dobbs to be the backup quarterback, which they didn't do, so bad on them. They're going to go with Willis as the backup, which bad on them. Or they're going to draft a quarterback high this year, and that guy will be the backup to Tannehill, and unlike Willis, won't stink. That's all I can come up with. But it's like the Kevin Byard pay cut thing. Why are you asking Kevin Byard to take a pay cut? Is he not good enough? No, he is. Why are you doing it? You're just trying to alienate him? What, are you going to cut him? Why are you doing it? And that's how I feel about this. Why'd you let Josh Dobbs go? I mean, you're giving Aaron Brewer $4.5 million next year. Why'd you let Josh Dobbs go? I mean, it's ridiculous. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, somebody just said that he got guaranteed $2 million and the number two role. I'd guarantee him $2 million in the number two role. Now, if I draft the quarterback, then I'm not going to be able to do that. But I'm telling you right now, I would not have let Josh Dobbs walk out of there if my option is Malik as the backup quarterback. 615-737-1025. There is one name that never gets mentioned. The Titans are not going to be able to draft one of the four quarterbacks. But there's a name that never gets mentioned, and the Titans will be able to draft him. And we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Later this hour, we will be giving away a pair of passes to the Preds Wine Festival. So be excited about that. And Preds fans, do not miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Starting at 6 o'clock, see your Predators star players up close and personal. Plus, get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests are Alexander Carrier and Jeremy Lazan. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila, pure and simple.
The number three quarterback in the Chris Sims quarterback draft ranking is
Hendon Hooker. Why is this guy not getting more buzz? What is there not to like? I know he tore his ACL, all right? But this is not Michael Vick, right? I mean, okay, maybe he's not ready for week one, whatever. Again, going off the film is what I'm doing. And all I know is I saw a really good-looking, like, on-the-money, pocket-passing quarterback who makes great decisions and, like C.J. Stroud, is way more athletic than people are giving him credit for. And, you know, even where he might be even better than C.J. Stroud and definitely better than Bryce Young is his ability to see over the line and throw over the line. He had the most amount of throws of people in his face, and I'm just going to throw the 10-yard in-cut over them. I don't care, right? Totally unaffected by the pass rush. That's where I give him tons of credit. But, you know, one, decision-making, sure. It's another one where I'd go, it's really off the charts good. You know, two, the amount of NFL high-level throws. So that's where I loved Hendon Hooker.
There you go. That was Chris Sims. And he was like, I love Hendon Hooker. So, you know, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, 1-2, and I don't know how he had him ranked, but he's got Hendon Hooker 3. Hendon Hooker clearly had a better season than Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. Now, the Titans have let Josh Dobbs go back to Cleveland, which I think is ridiculous, and so they don't have a backup quarterback. Well, maybe they could target a quarterback in the draft. And as far as I'm concerned, there's five guys, and the Titans do not have a chance at landing one of the top four. Stroud's going number one. Young's going number two. I don't know if a quarterback is going to go number three. I think a quarterback will go number three. I think Arizona is going to trade that pick. But if a quarterback doesn't go three, then a quarterback is going to go four and five. So all four guys are going to be gone by the first five picks in the draft, which means there's one guy left. Now let's start with Hendon Hooker before we get to where the Titans could reasonably draft him, because I think the 11th overall pick is too high for Hooker. Hendon Hooker is kind of a dented can. He is on the clearance rack because not only does he have an ACL injury, but he's also 26 years old or going to be 26 years old next year. And so he's not going to be with these other quarterbacks. But in college football this year, Hendon Hooker, in my opinion, was the best quarterback. On top of it, Hendon Hooker's got the size. Hendon Hooker's got the athleticism. Hendon Hooker has the arm strength. Hendon Hooker is coachable. Hendon Hooker is a great leader. So he's got a lot of things going for him. He also showed that he can play well in big games. Hendon Hooker's got a lot going for him. He's got two things that are bad: his age and his knee. But a torn ACL is not like Caleb Farley having back surgery. It's a torn ACL. They happen all the time. People come back just fine. And I was taken back to Hendon Hooker in the middle of the college football season. And what the people were saying then, when week in and week out, Hendon Hooker was putting on a show for Tennessee. And this is what Joel Klatt said in October. Fox's number one college football analyst was asked by Colin Cowherd, what does he think of Hendon Hooker? And here's what Joel Klatt was saying in October.
So for me, I always look at from a quarterback perspective, can you make the layups and then can you also go above the X's and O's, right? So like you can't see, there are times when you evaluate a quarterback and you're like, man, he just makes easy throws look hard, but then he makes hard throws look easy. I don't want that type of guy. I want a guy that makes the layups and then makes it look easy when he's going down the field and doing things that you just can't coach. This throw that you're seeing on your screen right here, that ball traveled 55 yards in the air, which is unprecedented. That doesn't happen. Mahomes doesn't do that. And the wide receiver never broke stride, right? So, like, the talent is there, but he's also doing things just in the normal course of football.
Oh, my God, he's got a whip.
The seam throws, that is a great player, a great player. And I think he absolutely is playing himself into the top 10, top 5 in the NFL draft.
Okay, if he's playing himself into the top 5 of the draft and he tears his ACL, that should not take him that far out of the top 5. By the way, I really could have used that clip without Cowherd making sex noises there in the background. But I go back to Hooker and now the Titans. The 11th overall pick is too rich for Hendon Hooker. And this is where you have to evaluate this properly. I believe Hendon Hooker is going in the first round of this year's draft. And I know Mel Kiper just put out a mock draft today and he doesn't have Hendon Hooker going in the first round. And I know the knee injury, and I'm telling you, I think Hendon Hooker is going in the first round. But then, if you're the Titans, how do you do the math accordingly? How do you get down to a spot where you could pick Hendon Hooker? And you could almost feel comfortable that you're going to get Hendon Hooker, but that you could also live without getting Hendon Hooker. And I went back and I looked at trades in which the picks where the Titans ended up picking where they were kind of seated, right? And I think if, let's say, you move to 20, and 20 feels like the safe spot because there will still be some tackles available in this draft at 20, whether it's Darnell Wright or DeJuan Jones out of Ohio State, there are still going to be some tackles available there. TD says this draft is loaded with interior offensive linemen, and that's good because you need interior offensive linemen. And it looks like that's where the receivers are going to go. Mel Kiper just had a mock draft that came out today, and all of the receivers in Mel's mock draft start at 20 and go from there. So he's got, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba at 20, Zay Flowers from Boston College at the Ravens at 22, Quentin Johnston, TCU at 23, Jordan Addison, USC at 25. So if you trade from 11 to 20, and let's say Hendon Hooker's gone, then you can still get your receiver, probably with that pick, or get a tackle with that pick. And what you would get by moving from 11 to 20, it'll vary, and it depends on how bad that team would want that pick at that time. But what you would most likely get if you're going off the 2017 trade between Kansas City and Buffalo, the 2017 trade between Cleveland and Houston, the 2021 trade between Chicago and the Giants, or even the 2019 trade with Pittsburgh and Denver, you're definitely going to get this year's one when you trade from 11 to 20. Most likely you're going to get next year's one, and you're probably going to get a fourth round pick on top of that. So most likely a fourth in this year's draft. Or if you do it like Pittsburgh and Denver did when Pittsburgh traded up to 10 in order to draft Deion Bush in 2019, you can go ahead and get the first round pick, plus you can get a second and a third next year. So you would get a second in this year's draft and a third in next year's draft. So even if Hendon Hooker doesn't pan out and you use that 20th overall pick on him, if he doesn't pan out, you still gain the extra second round pick, which will be a player that will help you this year, and the extra third round pick next year, or the extra first round pick next year, whatever it may be. And so I think if you're the Titans, I think that Hendon Hooker should be a part of the equation, because you hear Derek talk all the time about the idea of they got to go up and get their quarterback. They've got to get their quarterback of the future. They've got to find their guy. They've got to. And I go back to October and I say, what has changed between now and then with Hendon Hooker, when Joel Klatt said he's a top five pick in the draft, when Mel Kiper said he was a first round pick, when he was on TV every week lighting up the scoreboard, he still has the size, he still has the athleticism, he's still a good leader, he still played well in the Alabama game. It's an ACL. It's not a heart issue. What changed? He tore his ACL. Now, I do think there are questions about him as a system quarterback. You know, did Josh Heupel make Hendon Hooker? Or will we see this year with Joe Milton at quarterback that Hendon Hooker made Josh Heupel? I don't know the answer to that. But I wouldn't rule out Hendon Hooker. And I do think Hendon Hooker's going in the first round this year. I think that even if it's a team that trades their first in next year's draft to move back into the first round this year in order to draft him, because with that quarterback, you get that fifth year. And the Titans, I think, would be a good spot. Because if you draft Hooker coming off the knee injury, now he told Outkick 360 at the Super Bowl, oh, I'll be ready for training camp. But I don't need him ready for training camp. He comes back, Tannehill's the starter. Hendon Hooker's on the bench. But I like it that way. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on all this. The Titans' backup quarterback situation. Josh Dobbs out. Now there's a giant empty space. And, you know, I'm throwing the Hendon Hooker thing. There is one thing that I am going to tell you right now is not going to happen. Not going to happen if I'm in charge. We'll get to that next here on Stillman & Company. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
The one thing that I talked to Malik about was just continue to grow as a quarterback. And that's not just throwing the ball. That's not, you know, all these different things. But quarterback is so much more mental than it is physical. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, I just, you know, taught him about being able to lead the locker room, being able to have that presence, and continuing just to, you know, reach out to some of the greats in our game and guys that will help him. So we've been able to connect, and he's reached out to, you know, other quarterbacks in the league to kind of serve as mentors for him, which kind of shows, you know, who he is as a person and where he sees himself and where he wants to go.
I would love to know, by the way, what quarterbacks Malik Willis is reaching out to mentor him. And not to say, again, it's not Tannehill's job to mentor Malik Willis. It's Tannehill's job to win. But why not Tannehill? Like, is Tannehill a bad example? And that's why Rand Carthon says, hey, you need to reach out to, here's the list. And he's looking like, okay, Daniel Jones, let's see, Baker Mayfield. Like, these are the guys you need to reach out to because Tannehill, he's not a good enough leader. I find that all to be fascinating. But let me say this. With Josh Dobbs going on his merry way to Cleveland, and with the Titans not having a real option right now as the backup quarterback, I'm sure many of you are assuming that Malik Willis is going to be the backup for the Titans again this year. And I think a lot of you that want this to be true are probably assuming that Malik Willis is going to be good enough to be the backup quarterback for the Titans this upcoming season. Now, let me say this. If I got a vote on this, no, no, no. Malik Willis is not an option to be the backup quarterback for the Titans. And I sometimes hate having to say things out loud because it feels to others as if this is a personal attack. This is not a personal attack. This is all business. This is all football. He stinks. Like, he stinks. And when you saw him play quarterback against the Texans last year, and then the next week, Josh Dobbs signed off the Lions practice squad from Sheboygan, comes in here and looks like a reasonable quarterback, it's obvious how far back Malik is. And there's a lot of people that probably want to assume, oh, well, this will be Malik's second year, so now that he has the experience of last year, he'll be ready to be the backup. Maybe, but I'm not going to go into the season assuming that to be true. You all went into the season, and they went into the season last year assuming that it would be true that Malik Willis could play quarterback if he had to. And I said after watching training camp, no, 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 no. And everybody's like, oh, no, you don't get it. He's playing with all backups out there in the preseason. That's why he looks like crap. And I'm like, or because he's not very good. So, I mean, again, if I had a say in this, if this were a full collaboration, and Jared got to do some collaborating, Malik Willis is not an option to be the primary backup quarterback. Now, Ian, you were chuckling during the break. You said that you want Malik Willis to be the backup quarterback next year.
Oh, just for entertainment purposes only, yeah.
Does that entertainment have to do with me, or is that
yes,
just
it
how
does.
Bad it's going to be?
No, mostly just to hear you complain about it for a little while.
I mean, I won't complain about it if Tannehill stays healthy next year. But if Malik has to go out there and Malik looks anything like he looked last year, oh, I'll be yelling and screaming. Vrabel knows it. He benched him last year. They got down to those last two games. Half of you were out there saying we should lose them on purpose for draft seeding. And Vrabel was like, nah, you're out because you stink. And now Vrabel's going to put his faith in him again? No, he stinks. He stinks. They should call him Mustinks because he stinks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Apparently, Josh Dobbs, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Apparently, Josh Dobbs was on the ESPN affiliate in Cleveland this morning. I have no idea if that's true or not. And apparently, he basically said that he chose the Browns over the Titans because they have a far better roster. Well, again, I was told that Dobbs signed, and I'm sure this is public info, signed a $2 million guaranteed contract, which I'm not sure I would have given him, but if I had to, I probably would have, especially if I'm going to give Aaron Brewer $4.5 million. But my guess is it probably came down to that. Now, what I want to know is Cleveland using the same salary cap the Titans are? Because the Titans are paying $27 million to their quarterback, and everybody thinks they might release him anyways. And Cleveland's paying $46 million to their quarterback, and they just guaranteed Josh Dobbs $2 million. So is Cleveland using the same salary cap as the Titans next year? Because I said Cleveland keeps signing guys and keeps trading for guys and keeps restructuring contracts with guys. And, I mean, man. Andrew says, I believe the Titans are okay with having the worst quarterback in the NFL as the backup because they can try to win with Tannehill, and if Tannehill gets hurt, they could try to tank without looking like they're tanking. I do wonder if that's, and I know that this isn't what the Titans did in 2015, but I'm sure it didn't hurt that at the end of the season, and Mariota had been dinged a couple of times with a knee injury, because the offensive line, you thought it was bad last year. It was just as bad in 2015, and Wisenhunt's system was horrendous, and it was just awful. And so Marcus got hurt late in December, when the Titans were competing for the number one pick. And the Titans went out there with Zach Mettenberger at quarterback. And Mettenberger looked more like an NFL quarterback than Malik, but probably sucked about the same. And the Titans just kept putting him out there. And it was almost like you look back on it and you say, you know, could they have gotten the number one pick that year? And then that trade with the Rams that yielded Corey Davis and Jack Conklin and Derrick Henry and Jonnu Smith, could they have done that without Zach Mettenberger's help? Maybe not. I mean, they had to lose to Josh Freeman, signed off the street that week by the Colts in the last game of the season in order to get that number one pick. So maybe they couldn't have. But I don't see Vrabel ever trying to lose on purpose. And I hear a lot of talk about tanking, and I hear a lot of talk about, you know, ownership, take a couple steps back, be ready to go when you enter the new stadium. And I hear Derek talk about how they need to move off of Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry because those guys are making too much money and the team's not going to be good, so you might as well get rid of those. And I hear all that, and I'm like, Mike Vrabel is not signing up to lose. That's the one thing that I know in my heart, is that Mike Vrabel is never going to sign up to lose. Even if they sat him down and they said, kind of like how we talk about the Preds, and said, hey, got to take a step back to take a step forward. And I think Vrabel would be like, no, we're not doing that. Because I just can't see him putting in the hours that he has to put in when he's got the money that he's got in order to say, well, we're not going to try to win. I can't see it. Maybe you guys know Vrabel differently than I do, but I could not see Mike Vrabel signing up to lose. And apparently he's an equal partner now in all of this, which means his opinion counts. And he knows Malik stinks. Texter says, surely the Titans have a plan that is more than Malik at backup to Ryan Tannehill. They have to have another move coming. I thought that last year. I went to training camp and I was like, there's no way this guy, there is no way this guy is going to be the backup quarterback of the Titans. And I'll be damned. Sunday night football. We were like talking about it. I'm like, if Tannehill sprains an ankle and he's your backup, he has to go out there. And sure enough, Sunday night football at Kansas City in overtime, down by 3, 2-minute drill. Here's Malik. 615-737-1025. Oftentimes, I don't sit there and say, the media says, because I'm a part of the media, but the basketball Benny media, especially at ESPN, they are convinced that they know more than everything else about one particular subject. And this one particular subject, I think, is fair game. We'll get to that next. All right, let's give away some tickets to the Preds Wine Festival and Tasting at Bridgestone Arena on March 30th. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to the Nashville Predators Wine Festival and Tasting at Bridgestone Arena on March 30th. It will feature more than 300 higher-end wines, beers, and spirits, food samplings from local restaurants, and an extensive silent auction. Tickets are available at nashvillepredators.com/wine.
For the Big Blue Nation, it's a basketball game.
Yeah,
so if you're feeling like I'm feeling right now, that's it. That's all I have.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, I agree with you. I appreciate that. I mean, if it is a basketball game, but what makes Kentucky Kentucky is that we care. The moment we start saying we shouldn't care, or well, it's just a basketball game, then why? You know, what's the point? Now, do I think people should lose their minds over this? Of course not. Like, you have to have perspective. Like, we're going to laugh and have fun on our way to Beckley. At the same time, it matters. That's why we're Kentucky. The moment it stops mattering, it's not Kentucky.
And then you're every other fan base.
Exactly. And I don't want to see us get to that. I've seen a lot of our younger fans on social media who take UK very seriously sort of act like, well, you lose. And sometimes that happens. Well, yeah, but no. I mean, this is Kentucky, and there's a standard here, and I don't think that standard has been met the last few years.
Matt Jones on Kentucky Sports Radio saying, no, 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 none of that loser talk. None of it's just a basketball game, and it shouldn't be at Kentucky. Not when I lived there, it wasn't just a basketball game. I mean, come on now. And so it's funny. Caroline texted me on Sunday, and she was like, after Kentucky lost, and she said, I was the biggest Kansas State fan today. And here I am. I went to Louisville, and I'm sitting here thinking, I was rooting for Kentucky to win. And I don't know why. You know, I've told you, my dad hates Tennessee. Now, my dad and I grew up watching the Vols, rooting against the Vols every Saturday. And after Tennessee beat Alabama, which my dad absolutely, positively did not want to see, after that happened, he said to me, you know, it's good for Tennessee to win a game like this every now and then because it makes hating them more fun when they're good. I'm like, that's what I've been saying for years, that it's been time for Tennessee to get back to the top of college football so that their fans can be as obnoxious as they are at their peak, and it can reset back to why everybody feels the way they feel about the Vols. And maybe I feel that internally about Kentucky. But I am sitting here watching three seasons in a row in which Kentucky has not gotten to the Sweet 16. And I'm like, that's not good enough for Kentucky. Now, they're not going to fire Cal because he's got the quote-unquote lifetime contract and they owe him too much money. But after next season, they're going to have to raise that money to get him out if he can't win. Well, the basketball Bennies on TV have decided that we are not ever allowed to criticize John Calipari, and we are not ever allowed to think that anybody else could do that job. Seth Greenberg, we played the cuts yesterday. Seth Greenberg, right after the game, was on with me, and he was, like, offended. Ian, would you say offended's the right word?
I don't know about offended, but he was trying to stick up for his coaching kind of circles, I think.
I mean, he was flummoxed.
He was not having it, really.
At the idea that I could be saying that there should be pressure on Calipari. And he did the whole, who are you going to hire? Because that's what everybody loves to do. Who are you going to hire? And then every time you bring someone, oh, he's not good enough. And I said, Nate Oates or Eric Musselman. And Seth Greenberg was like, psh, they haven't been to 5 Final Fours. They ain't been coaching long enough to go to 5 Final Fours like that. But I digress. Jay Billis on ESPN was asked about Kentucky and whether or not The fans in Lexington should get their way on Calipari.
Should Kentucky start thinking about making a change when it comes to Coach Cal?
I can't imagine that they would do that. That to me would be ludicrous. You know, Cal has a record in the tournament of, I think, 72-15. That's right at the top of the list among the greatest coaches. And that to me would be ludicrous. But you know, Kentucky fans can do whatever they want. It's their call.
Again, another ESPN basketball Benny media guy sticking their nose up saying, I mean, that would be crazy. Why? Why would it be crazy for John Calipari to be fired at Kentucky? Now, I don't think they're going to do it just because of the money. But I said this yesterday. I believe that if Cal didn't have the contract that he has, I believe he'd either be red hot on the hot seat or he'd be fired after what happened the other day. I mean, this is not Kentucky basketball. And I said this, you know, around the country. I said, look, in New York, when the Knicks fire a coach because they don't win, everybody gets it. When the Dallas Cowboys fire a coach because they don't win, everybody gets it. But with Kentucky, you think it's different. It's not. I mean, they care about Kentucky basketball more than people in Nashville care about the Titans. I'm just telling you that. I've lived in both places. I'm just telling you. And at Kentucky, the reason that you get paid $10 million a year like a football coach is because basketball matters. And Cal's not winning. Now, he's got the number one recruiting class in the country, and that has always kind of been Cal's thing, is give me the good recruits. Well, we'll give you the good recruits this year, and let's see. But I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't about the money, I'd probably fire him after what happened on Sunday. And even with the money, I would definitely fire him if it happens again next year. And the basketball Bennies should not. How dare you think? Eric Musselman. Let's just use this comparison. Eric Musselman at Arkansas. He's doing a great job. He's been to three straight Sweet 16s. He just beat a one seed in Kansas. He beat a one seed in Gonzaga in San Francisco last year in the Sweet 16. Eric Musselman has been to back-to-back Elite Eights. If they win on Thursday night against UConn, it'll be three straight Elite Eights. Meanwhile, Cal didn't make the tournament, lost in the first round, lost in the second round. If Eric Musselman can do that at Arkansas and can recruit at Arkansas, don't you think Eric Musselman could do it at Kentucky? And don't you think Kentucky could say, well, the guy at Arkansas is winning more? And no disrespect to Arkansas, but we're Kentucky. They care about football more than they care about basketball. We don't. Clint is up next on Calipari. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Clint?
Hey, Jared. I'm 50-year-old from Owensboro, Kentucky, and I'm sick of this crap that Calipari's throwing out there. He couldn't coach himself out of a wet paper sack. How many times have we got to see a team run a high screen pick and roll and they get a straight layup?
Oh, they're just bringing Oscar out. Just the whole game, just bring Oscar out every time. You're right, 100%.
Yeah. So it's time for him to go. I don't care if we got the number one recruiting class or not. It's you know, I got SEC tournament tickets, paid $700 and went home on the first night. So, no, I'm not happy.
Thank you for your call, Clint. I mean, and see, that's fair. Like, that's Kentucky. That's what Kentucky basketball does. They pay $700 to $2,000 for SEC tournament tickets, not just NCAA. And when you factor in how much it probably costs to stay at the Days Inn in Antioch when they come for the SEC tournament, my guess is they're probably spending about $1,500, $1,600. And then they get bounced in the first round each of the last 2 years. You're supposed to win at Kentucky. You are supposed to win. That's how this goes. And Cal doesn't do it. And yet, Seth Greenberg. Oh, yeah, there's nobody you can get who's better than Calipari. Jay Billis. Oh, that would be ludicrous. Guess what? I've had the same internet provider since I bought my first house in 2018. Same internet provider. Moved 2 years ago. Kept the same internet provider. In fact, I didn't do anything. I just told the cable company that I was moving, the internet company, and I just stuck it right in the wall, and it worked. Same Wi-Fi and everything. Well, all of a sudden, I was having some issues with my Wi-Fi. And then I found out how much money my parents were paying for their Wi-Fi. They were paying a half for their Wi-Fi that I was paying for mine. And they had like 100 times faster speed. Well, guess what I did? I switched providers. You want to know why? Because for what I was paying, I should have been getting more. And so I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay less and get more. Kentucky doesn't have to pay Eric Musselman $10 million a year, and he goes to the Elite Eight every year. And they don't need to pay $10 million a year for Cal to get bounced in the first and second round. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mel Kiper Jr. has his latest mock draft out. Finally, they have changed up who the Titans are going to be drafting. And it's not a head-scratcher, but it's interesting. We'll break it down with Trevor Maddich, who will join us coming up next. Stillman & Company right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.